business owner? Entrepreneur? Want to learn how online marketing can improve your business?
Your questions. Our advice.
This is Not a Real Job.
Welcome to episode 16 of Not a Real Job. I am Chris Van Patten, and I make websites and web products for businesses and individuals and all sorts of people in New York City.
And I am Joel Kelly, and I do social media marketing, strategy and execution, et cetera, for travel and tourism clients. And I'm up in Nova Scotia, Canada.
So I hope you already know this, but this is our podcast about digital marketing and websites and social media and all the sorts of different moving pieces and parts that go with that. So this week, though, we're going to talk about something a little different. We've talked about working with virtual assistants and outsourcing and that sort of thing before. But I wanted to talk about that sort of in respect to building processes and managing and documenting these processes, if that's okay.
I think that sounds fantastic.
Awesome. So I wrote a blog post, and it should be going up. It should have gone up on Tuesday, the Tuesday before this episode aired, because we are recording pretty far in advance due to travel. But anyway, this article, which we will link to in the show notes, is basically about how I've been building a handbook for processes in my businesses. So I work with a virtual assistant who is increasingly becoming more and more important to the business. And I also have a bunch of developers who I work with on different projects. So I probably in total have about six people, six different freelancers and contractors that I work with project to project. And what often happens, and an easy trap to fall into, is that you get a freelancer and you get working with them and you start to rely on them and depend on their services. You train them in certain aspects of how to manage your business and all that kind of stuff. But eventually, they go on. But, you know, they move on to a different business or start doing their own thing, or they become less available due to other, you know, their own clients. And then you're sort of left in the lurch because all of a sudden you have to start taking this stuff back on, or you have to hire somebody. And then you have to go back through that training process again and again. To a certain degree, that's going to be inevitable. You know, you're always going to have to teach new people something, no matter what it is, or be available to help them. But I've been working on building handbooks that will let me easily train new people without having or make the process easier by putting a lot of that stuff in writing, you know, having it concrete so I can easily share it with new people.
I think it's a fantastic idea. And like, as soon as I read, for our listeners, I got to read, you know, the podcast before it went live.
The post.
Fuck. Sorry. sorry for swearing, people, too. All right. I got to read the post before it went live, and I think it's such a good idea. And I've been thinking a lot about how I can kind of use a lot of those ideas for, of course, I'm not dealing with, you know, freelancers or anything like that, but even just internally with my team, really making sure everything's recorded, you know, if someone's sick or, you know, someone has to go away. You know, we have this to a certain extent, like every company needs to, but really, really making it extra clear, especially as my team grows right now with the advantage of being a fairly small team who work together very closely. So when someone does go on vacation, it's pretty easy to, you know, to pick things up and make things keep working. But as it grows, making sure these handbooks exist for every client and every project seems like a great idea.
And I would even say, you know, someone in your position or, you know, somebody out there who doesn't work with a lot of freelancers, you know, they don't have a virtual assistant and they sort of work for themselves. Even if you're in that situation, I think there is immense value in putting together a handbook. One, because you're preparing for the day that you are working with an assistant or starting to build your own team. And two, I think writing it down and documenting it is a great way to sort of go back for your own mind and figure out where you can be more efficient, right? Because so often we sort of do these things from a day-to-day, you know, every day we have these specific tasks that we execute, but we don't always think, are we doing it in the best possible way? And I think taking the time to actually grab the screenshots and annotate them and write out, you know, your process, you know, in actual written words is a great way to say, oh, hey, that step there, I can probably do that a different way that's maybe a little bit faster.
Yeah, and that makes perfect sense, because I mean, there's so many parts of, you know, my business that we do that already, of that going back to what was my original intent here, and make sure that after, you know, a few months or, you know, years have passed doing a certain type of work, that you go back and check like what you meant to do in the first place. Can you revise that original document for a handbook? I think that makes sense too, that, you know, it gives you something to refer back to make sure that you are doing things the way that you always meant to, and, you know, try to figure out if you've come up with efficiencies on the fly, making sure that that's in the handbook.
Yeah, absolutely. So in the post, I have, I think, four different, what I call, you know, the qualities of a great handbook, a great process handbook. And I'll just go through these really quickly. You should read the post, of course, because it's going to go into even more detail. But for our listeners, first, I think it's important that this handbook is widely accessible. And what I mean by that is that with certain exceptions, I think you want everybody to be able to view everything in the handbook. Even if they don't take the time, you know, to learn about something that's maybe not strictly important to them, I think there's great value in that openness and having everyone able to edit it. You want it to be easily accessible, so it's easy to consult. You don't have to go find it. It's, you know, it's something that you can remember and how to get to. And easily make changes if you figure out a way to do something better. Second is that as you're preparing this handbook, as your team, if your team is actually helping to prepare the handbook, know who you're writing for. So actually in my company, we have two handbooks. I have the handbook for developers and then the handbook for sort of everybody else, you know, marketing and administration and that kind of stuff. Our developer's handbook is very specific in the way that we write things, to appeal to developers. And even the tool that we use is optimized for developers. So we're using this programming, you know, this Git system for managing changes, which is going to be familiar to programmers out there. Everything is text-based, and it's very much optimized toward developers. Our other handbook, which is sort of the administrative, marketing, whatever handbook, is in Google Drive. And it's written with that in mind, that you might not understand, you know, for example, something that I take for granted, how to run updates in WordPress, or use, you know, an update manager tool. For me, that sort of comes naturally, but I've been working with WordPress for pretty close to 7 or 8 years now. So for me, what might be natural isn't natural to somebody else. So I have to sort of step outside of myself and say, what are the exact steps? Which is what the third attribute is: be more detailed than you think you need to be. Always put everything in, even if you think anyone can figure this out. Assume that there is somebody out there who can't, and you may hire them someday. So really take the time to document everything. And that's also when you're going to see, you know, flaws in your workflow, potential for optimization, all that kind of stuff. And that sort of leads into the fourth attribute, which is illustrate wherever you can. So I use a lot of screenshots. I'm a big screenshot person. I'll use Sketch or Google Drawings to import those screenshots and then put arrows and circles and lines and text and whatever I need to make those screenshots easier to understand. But I find that a lot of the time, if you can, visual aids are super helpful. For some clients, I don't give clients access to the handbook, but I do prepare documentation for clients. And most often, that's in video form. So I'll take 10 minutes, record a couple of quick 2-minute video tutorials, throw them up on YouTube, and send the link to the client in a private playlist or something like that. So really illustrating things with actual visuals is super immensely helpful whenever you can.
Yeah. I mean, I think all of that sounds great. I'm very interested, especially in the illustration part. How time consuming do you find that? I mean, I think for most people, I don't know if you're listening to this right now and this sounds like a great idea to you, the one thing you probably have in your head is how much time does this take you? I mean, obviously it works out to being worthwhile in the long run, but.
So it depends. First of all, it's not something that I'm not sitting down, you know, on Monday morning and saying, today I'm going to write a handbook. Mm-hmm. It's not like that at all. It was at the start recently, you know, as I started to collect these documents. But really, it's something that takes less than, you know, it's around 5 to 10 minutes to put a document together. Snap a bunch of screenshots really quickly. Mac comes with, you know, some really easy shortcuts to grab specific windows or specific sections of windows. I'm sure you can find apps for Windows that do the same thing. And then just opening them up, and you know, I use Sketch. I love Sketch. You can drag a screenshot in and very easily, without barely any time at all, it lets you easily, you know, add arrows and lines and things like that. The slowest part, the screenshots are really fast, but what's slow is actually going in and typing out all the instructions. But even that, you know, depending on the task, you could write the entire description of a task with screenshots in 3 to 4 minutes. That's just my experience anyway, and that's partly because the tasks that I'm doling out are very small and compartmentalized and very easy to share. But yeah, the video tutorials are definitely a little more involved. And I would say with video tutorials, don't, if you mess up halfway through the video, don't worry about it. I've done some video tutorials where, you know, halfway through something in the site stopped working and I sort of had to pause and take a couple seconds to fix it. Depending on the video, depending on the client, sometimes I don't even edit that out because they don't really care. They're probably only going to need to watch it once or twice. So yeah, it's something that's really quick and really easy to do. And honestly, so what made this easy for me to start in and start creating this handbook was that this was stuff that I had sent in emails already for a long time. I have been sending my assistant, you know, here's how to do X, Y, and Z. Here are some screenshots or whatever. Now that I'm collecting them in one place, all I have to do is go to that email, find where I had originally sent it, copy it and paste it into a Google Doc, and there you go. Super easy.
That's fantastic. I mean, yeah, I've just been thinking here, like, there's a lot of this that I could start integrating into my business. And I think for our listeners, there's probably, I mean, I don't know the breakdown of people who will, you know, now or in the future, listen to this podcast, you know, what type of work they do. But I think there's a lot of this that will be very useful for your, you know, your run of the mill office job and your, you know, creative, you know, business owner who works with freelancers. I think there's a lot of use in just writing everything down. I mean, I guess that's an overall good piece of advice, you know, from us to you, is that make sure you've got a record of everything. You know, when we do reporting for clients, I mean, those are all saved forever in formats that can be edited. So every time I make a chart for a client using Excel, and then, you know, I may make some changes to it in PowerPoint or something like that, make sure you save every single revision. One day you will need that number again. And you never want to have to put the work into, you know, trying to figure out how to get that again, digging through, you know, all the data. Just save it, title it in a way that you'll be able to figure out what it is in the future, and you'll be good. It's always worth the extra time.
And something that I said in the post, and I'll just emphasize again here, I really believe for everything, I think, that you write down in your business, if you're doing it digitally, but for the handbook as well, you should be using tools that let you track changes.
Mm.
Even if it's a document you think, this is never going to get edited, you know, no one's going to care about having the past versions, you want to be prepared. It's better to use a tool that has that built in and never use it than not use a tool with changes, with, you know, the ability to track changes and revisions, and then need it someday for whatever crazy reason. So always assume that you need that information, even if you don't think you will. And so for us, we have this wiki that we use for the developers that tracks changes, as, you know, part of its, the way that it's designed for the more management, marketing, administration. We use Google Docs, which has built-in version history and all that kind of stuff. So really think about the tool as well, and think about, you know, one, who am I building this for, but also what features does it have? And I would strongly suggest you use something with revision control. The other thing that I would say is that I sort of said this earlier, but even if you're in a position where you're doing everything yourself, writing out these kind of processes will give you an opportunity to figure out more easily, what can I outsource? So for myself, when I first started looking around for a virtual assistant and was sort of thinking about it, I thought, I don't really have any need. You know, I just sort of thought I needed a virtual assistant because it sounded cool. But as I was thinking about it, I was having a hard time figuring out exactly what would I outsource, right? What exact things in my business would I give somebody else? Because for so long, I've been doing them myself and sort of assumed that that's the way it would go in the future. So I sort of started off by creating things. But if you actually take the time to write these down and have consistent processes, you can outsource. It's going to make it that much easier to figure out what you should be outsourcing. And even something that you think, well, I can outsource these five things, but these two or three things I'm always going to do. If you take the time to write them down step by step, you can probably outsource them anyway. Yeah. Even if you think you don't want to or you shouldn't, you probably can. And as an entrepreneur, I think it's so important not to focus on existing revenue streams, but optimizing your time so you're finding new revenue streams as much as possible. And if you take the time to build these processes into your business, it's going to be that much better for you because you're going to have a system in place for everything in advance.
Exactly. There's so much of what you just said. Now I want to get into a whole discussion about virtual assistants, but we will save that for another episode.
Yeah. One thing that I would say, or recommendation rather, is definitely check out the book Work the System by Sam Carpenter. It's a nonfiction book, as you would expect. And it's basically about building processes and systems into your business and really, you know, making them sort of mechanical moving pieces that make up your business. That way you don't have to do, or what the book is suggesting, that if you do this, you can easily outsource more and do less yourself. Or outsource more and do smarter things yourself. So, yeah.
Cool. Awesome. Well, we'll have all the links in the show notes to your blog post and to that book. But I think that's that.
It is.
So, housekeeping, find us notarealjob.com. Chris has been making lots of cool changes to the website to get things even more optimized and fancy looking. So make sure you give that a look. Also, tell your friends. Really, I mean, we're not putting any money right now into to marketing this podcast. It's something that we're just kind of slowly building. So really, the only way people are going to find out about this is if you tell them. So please do that. If you find this valuable, hopefully you have some friends or colleagues who would also find it useful and interesting. So please share it with them. You can share our Twitter account at NarjCast, NARJCast. And yeah, notarealjob.com. Send us questions if you have any questions about online marketing to questions@notarealjob.com. And you can find
us info@notarealjob.com.
And if you want to find us personally on Twitter, you can do so at Chris Van Patten and at Joel Kelly.
And those handles, those at names or whatever you want to call them, are in the NarjCast bio. So while you're on that page, following us there, you can also click over to see our personal profiles.
Perfect.
Awesome.
All right. Well, stay tuned for next week, which will be episode, 17?
Yeah, we're almost to 20.
Almost to 20, and that's when we get to stop, right?
Yes, that's when we've told everything that we can, everything right. that we know.
Hopefully right. nothing will ever change. All right. Sure. Thanks, everyone.
See you next week.